7 messages tonight. They're not going to be long ones, but there's 7 different messages, and I could make all of them long if I wanted, but I don't want to tonight. I'm going to try to do it in 20 minutes. And if that happens, it'll be the 8th wonder of the world. I want to preach 7 messages on why I believe in healing. How's that? You know, Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. You know that verse. Salvation is the word soteria, and it means to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be delivered, and to be healed. That's what salvation means. No matter what verse you look at in the New Testament, anytime salvation or saved means the exact same thing. Forgiven, cleansed, delivered, healed, made whole. You can get an Old Testament verse to back it up. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for my transgressions. That's your forgiveness. He was bruised for my iniquity. That's your cleansing. The chastisement of my emotional peace was upon him. That's your deliverance. And by his deep cut wounds, you were rapha. You were healed, made whole. Forgiveness, sanctification, deliverance, healed. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You get it? So salvation is holistic. You can't just save the soul and not affect the body. Jesus never did do that. He didn't do that one time. He did whatever person's, whatever they needed. You get it? So here's the first reason why I believe in healing. I believe it's God's will. Period. Why would you believe that, Dan? Not everybody gets healed. I didn't say what everybody gets. I'm talking about what God's will is. Genesis 1:26, let's make man in our image. So if God created the human race in his image, was God ever sick?
No.
No. Did God ever have like a sick day? No. In fact, he says he never gets tired. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Mankind never would have died until Adam and Eve sinned. God's original plan was holistic people that never died. I wonder if he believes in healing.
Yes.
What about the last book, Revelation 21:4? There's coming a time when he'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain for eternity.
Amen.
God's original plan, God's eternal plan, healing. There's one time Jesus was asked if he would be willing to heal. In his ministry that's recorded, one time, it was in Mark 1:40, a leper ran to him and worshiped. So we know he's a believer, he's worshiping. He says, Jesus, if you're willing, would you heal me? Jesus' response was, I am willing, be cleansed. That's the only time he was asked, are you willing? And the word, I am willing there, it's a present tense verb, this is what it means. I was willing then, I'm willing now, I'll always be willing. In fact, I am the I am willing God. That's the first reason why I believe in healing. I believe it's God's will. If you don't believe it's God's will, you won't believe what Jesus wants you to believe. The Word of God is supposed to be something that shifts our thought patterns to believe the Word over our circumstances. So we need to believe what God's will is. That's the foundation. We believe it's God's will that nobody should perish, but people do. So sin messed up the original plan. You get it? Reason number 2, I believe in healing because of the way Jesus did it. Here's some examples. Every single person that ever came to Jesus for healing, he healed them. There's a good reason to believe that God may want healing because Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Right? He's one with the Father. I'm not going to quote all the verses. I got a bunch of verses blasting my mind, but I'm trying to do it short because I'd like to pray for miracles tonight. Jesus was always anointed with the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38. The Father always did miracles through him, Acts 2:22. Jesus never did one thing unless he saw the Father do it. John 5:19. Jesus said in John 10:30, me and the Father are one. Jesus, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the exact representation or the expression of the Father. So everything Jesus did is what God's like. And Jesus healed every single person that came to him for healing.
That's right.
Whoa. I believe it's God's will. And I believe Jesus shows us the will of the Father clearer than any other man that's ever walked on the planet. Another reason why I believe it's in believing healing is Jesus did this as a man who emptied himself of the glory. In Philippians 2, he gave up the glory. He became a man, became a servant, and obedient as a servant even unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus' whole life was going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower to become one of us, so much like us that he was able to be tempted. And James says God can't be tempted. But when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted to turn rocks into bread. He was tempted to have bow down and worship. He was tempted to fly. He was tempted to do things that no man's ever been tempted to do, but Satan wanted Jesus to not be a man doing it anymore. He wanted him to be God doing it. Jesus gave up being equal with God so he could show us what a man possessed and filled and led by the Holy Spirit could pull off. In Luke 22, Jesus was sweating like drops of blood, praying when his disciples were sleeping. And as soon as he prayed through, it says the angels came and comforted him, but God doesn't need to be comforted, but a man does. You get it?
Yes, absolutely.
So I believe in healing because I think Jesus shows us what's possible if you live holy and you live empowered by the Holy Spirit and you do whatever the Father says to do.
Right.
I believe in that. How many of you believe that?
That's it.
If you take Matthew 44%, Mark 65%, Luke and John about 30%. If you average them together, it's almost 40.5% of everything that's written in the Gospels is the healings that Jesus did. If you take the book of Acts and you add the healings that the apostles did and the prophetic utterances and things they did, Acts is 49% miracles. So the generation after Jesus went to the right hand of the Father and poured the Holy Spirit out so we could do even greater things than Jesus, it went from 40.5% to 49%. So I don't think it's supposed to die.
Right.
I think the book of Acts is not supposed to be the revelation of the church. In other words, it's supposed to start. The book of Acts is supposed to be the genesis of the church. The book of Acts is supposed to be where it's ankle deep. Right now we should be in over our heads.
Right.
It's supposed to be getting deeper and wider the farther we go closer to the second coming. You get it? So I believe in healing because I believe it's God's will. I believe in healing because of the way Jesus did it. And I believe in healing because Jesus did it as one of us. He was still God, but he emptied himself of the glory. In John 17, he asked for the glory back. And then in John 17, he says, Father, as you sent me, so I send them in the exact same way. In John 20, after he rose back from the dead and he walked through the wall and he kind of made him afraid, he breathed on him. Remember John 20:23, he breathed on him, just like he breathed in dirt back in Genesis 1. He breathed on him. He said, receive the Spirit. And he goes, as the Father sent me, so I send you in the exact same way. Everything I was sent to do, you're supposed to be doing it. Here's the Holy Spirit. Go run with him. Another reason why I believe in healing, because I believe in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 4, Jesus preached, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Change your mind and believe his kingdom is really here. It's not something that's far off that we'll get to someday. His kingdom is right here. So we're supposed to believe for the kingdom. In Matthew 6:33, we're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're supposed to seek the kingdom. In Matthew 10, we're supposed to preach the kingdom.
Right.
Remember when Jesus gave his authority to his disciples and said, go and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons and cleanse lepers. Freely you receive, freely give. He says, as you go, preach saying, the kingdom is at hand.
Yep.
So we're supposed to seek it. We're supposed to preach it. We're supposed to believe it. Luke 17:21 says the kingdom of God doesn't come with what you observe or what you can muster up. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's all around you. It's in you. It's in you.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to live the kingdom.
Right.
What is the kingdom? It's his domain.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Jesus is in dominion. It's where Jesus is in charge. He calls the shots because he's the king of the kingdom.
That's right.
And when he comes, darkness has to flee because he's a kingdom of light.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, demons are mentioned a handful of times. In the Gospels, demons flare up every other day. Why? Because Jesus brings the kingdom of God. He's carrying the Holy Spirit. The kingdom's in the Spirit. Come on. Romans 14, 17, it's not what you eat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness is the cure for your sins. Peace is the cure for your emotional disorders. And joy is the cure for your physical sickness. The kingdom of God is not what you can do. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yes. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God's in you. Right. We might as well take dominion. Joshua 1, 3. Every place you place the sole of your feet, the kingdom of God goes with you. I believe in the kingdom. Here's an example of why we don't always see what we want to see. There's this kingdom that's eternal. It's God's realm. It's where those living creatures right now have all those eyes. Won't that be neat to see them? And all they can say is, holy, holy, holy. This can't stop for like ever. Holy, he must be holy. Because it's like eyes all over. Holy, 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 holy. And then they all fall down. They get up and start over. Talk about the same song. There's that realm. There's that eternal kingdom realm that goes on forever. But then there's this realm we live in that's been kind of marred since Adam and Eve sinned. So there's this eternal realm, and then there's this temporary realm. When we see somebody come to faith, this eternal realm breaks into this realm, and we're right there in between there. See where they're overlapping? See the little spot between the two realms? Right in here. See it? Right in there? That's where people get saved. That's where people get healed. That's where people get delivered. Because the kingdom of God has taken dominion back on this kingdom of earth that's fallen because of Adam's sin. You get it? Right. Jesus batted 1,000 in his earthly ministry when it came to healing, when people needed healing. Because he didn't just come into this place. He was able by faith to bring that eternal kingdom all the way over this kingdom and take complete dominion where there was no overlap. So far, no man's ever been able to pull that off except for Jesus. And I have my opinions on that. Number one, he didn't have doubt. Mm-hmm. Number one, he didn't have to overcome a carnal nature. Mm-hmm. Another reason he didn't have to overcome bad theology. I mean, every time he believed, his kingdom would take dominion over this fallen kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's why people always got healed. That's why people got off mats. You get it? Yeah. And he said, what I do, I want you guys to do. Another reason why I believe in healing is because every commission account in the Gospels is go heal, cast out demons, and preach the kingdom. He never just tells them to go preach. It's always, I give you power and authority, go heal. I'm not going to quote them. I can. Go heal.
That's right.
Preach the kingdom. Get the demons out of the way. Because when the kingdom comes, this kingdom has to bow to his kingdom. This is what our whole prayer life should be centered around, Matthew 6:10. You ready for this prayer? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In Ship Shawana. As it is in heaven. Your whole prayer life should be centered around that one reality. Your whole life of service, your whole life of Bible study, your whole life of giving, your whole life of faith should be centered around that reality, getting what's going on in heaven to become more normal down here.
That's right.
So when you look at heaven, is there a cancer ward? No. Is there a depression ward? Is there an anxiety ward? Is there an incest ward? Is there a church problem ward? Is there a carnality ward? There's nothing up there like that. And Jesus said we're supposed to pray what is going on there would happen here.
Yeah. That's right.
It should be our whole prayer life. Amen. We're supposed to be the gate of heaven because the gate of heaven actually lives in us. Jesus is the gate of heaven. And so the only thing that could stop our heart from drawing the heart of the Father into this world would be our thinking. Hmm. Come on, our mind is the only thing that can shut off our heart and his heart from becoming an unstopped flow of heaven to earth. It's how we start thinking because we don't see what we think we should see. Therefore, doubt enters our mind and our heart believes, but our mind talks us out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I believe in healing because I believe in faith. You don't need a lot. You just need it in Jesus.
Right.
A mustard seed will do. Mm-hmm. That's the whole faith message right there. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. Nothing's impossible for those who believe. So let's just start having faith.
Yes.
In Jesus, not our faith. Let's don't have faith in our faith.
Right.
Let's have faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Another reason why I believe in healing, I believe in authority. This is maybe my favorite one. Authority is the right or the privilege or the obligation to use power. Mm-hmm. You can have a gun, but if you don't have a permit, you don't have authority to use it. You could be a police officer with a gun, but you can't pull on anybody unless you have a badge that gives you the authority.
Right.
I can have all the power of the kingdom in me, but I don't have any authority to talk about it in this church unless Francis says come to the pulpit. You get it? Authority is important.
Right.
You get it?
That's right.
There's this story when Jesus is in this room and it's crowded and there's no room, so these guys cut a hole in the roof and let a guy down. It's in Mark 2. It's in Luke 5. Anyway, Jesus sees their faith. And it says in Luke 5:17 that the power of God was present to heal. So anybody in the room could be healed because the power's there. Mm-hmm. Where's the power? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He got anointed with the Holy Spirit. Remember, he came up out of the water. The dove came down. He never chased it off. Come on. Mm-hmm. So he's going around doing miracles because God's working with him and anointing him with the Holy Spirit and power, right?
Yeah.
So there's power. He sees their faith. First thing out of his mouth, your sins are forgiven. Why did he do that first? Because he knows what we need first.
Right.
Healing is forgiveness, cleansing, deliverance, healing. Remember? Then he discerns in the spirit, because when you're in the kingdom, you can discern what's going on. He knew people were thinking he was a blasphemer. He goes, so you'll know, not only do I have power, I have authority. Pick up your mat and go home. And he healed him on the spot. And at the end of that story, it says they saw, ma'am, we've seen some strange things here today. And if you break that little phrase down in the original Greek language, what it means is we came expecting to hear a good sermon. We didn't come expecting to see the supernatural.
Mm. Yeah.
Jesus showed what authority does. Because he would never say anything unless his father told him to say it. He would never do anything unless his father showed him to do it. He must have showed him to heal the guy on the mat.
Right.
If you're doing what your father's telling you, don't you think the authority of heaven will back you up?
Yes.
Another story is Mark 9, Matthew 17. Jesus and the three are up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They come down. A guy runs and catches Jesus, says, my boy is demon-possessed. He's moonstruck. He's epileptic. He has all kinds of problems. He's always in the water and the fire. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. You know the story. And Jesus says, you wicked, perverse generation. How would you like to have a pastor say that? It doesn't say they're sinning. It doesn't say that like they were having adultery or not paying their tithe or fighting. It says they didn't use their authority. He gave him authority. Remember in Matthew 10, this is Matthew 17 when it happened. He says, I give you my authority. Go heal the sick. Come on. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. You have my authority. And the guy comes to the church who has the authority and the boy doesn't get healed. And Jesus says, you wicked, perverse generation. How long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And the dad says, if you can do anything, can you help me? And Jesus says, I don't have a problem. If you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe.
Right.
Boom, he's healed.
Yeah.
Then the disciples tiptoe to Jesus in secret and say, how come we couldn't do it? Why'd they come in secret? They don't like being called wicked and perverse in public. So they want to have private devotions. You get it? So Jesus says, this kind only comes out with much prayer. But Jesus didn't pray. So I learned some lessons in that story. Number one, you can't operate in authority off of yesterday's prayer life. You got to be prayed up all the time. In other words, you got to be continually being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. You got to live on daily bread. You can't live off last year's revival. Come on. And number two, I learned that authority works even if you're the only one that has it and uses it. The whole church cannot be operating in the authority that we have, but if one person actually lives in the authority that God's given them, you could pull the miracle off. One person. Third thing I learned in that story was this, what that guy said. Remember, I believe, help my unbelief. Remember when the guy cried out with tears? I believe, help my unbelief. It must have been good enough because he got his miracle. This is what I learned. Faith isn't the absence of doubt. Faith is the presence of belief.
Yes.
If you really believe, your belief will eventually choke out your doubt.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
I'm preaching really good.
Yes.
If you want more of this, if you want notes, I got sermons out there. I'm just telling you, you need to believe. This is all in the Word. Another reason why I believe in healing, let me tell you why we don't use our authority, and then I'll get to the last reason why I believe in healing. I did good, 20 minutes. I did good. This is really a miracle. Another reason why, this is why I believe we don't use authority. Number one, a lot of Christians are biblically illiterate. Before you all amen that, listen to this. Matthew 22:29 and Mark 12:24. It's kind of the same paraphrase. The reason why we err is because we don't know the Word of God. Therefore, we don't know the power of God. If we really knew the Word, now the word know is epinosis, gnosko. So to know the Word means you become one with the Word and you're abiding in the Word. And the Word is abiding in you, then you can ask for anything and you always get it because it's not your desires. It's His flowing through you.
Right.
So if you don't know the Word, we don't know the power. You get it? So that's one reason why I don't think a lot of Christians use authority, because they would say, well, that's prideful. Not if you knew the Word.
Right.
Number two, I think a lot of times we talk ourselves out of using authority because we'll pray for somebody and we don't see the miracle. So then we say, well, maybe it's not my gift. Or maybe it's not my calling. And so we talk ourselves out of authority. And number three, a lot of people never see authority really manifest because they're afraid to take risk when the Holy Spirit tells them to do something. Does that make sense, you guys? Next reason why I believe in healing, I believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ, the covering that He paid for when He went to the cross and He lifted the sins, right? 1 Peter 2:24, He became sin so that we could die to sin and become the righteousness of God. By His stripes we were healed. I believe in the atonement. I believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and if there wasn't sin in humans, we would need no healing. Do you guys agree with that? I'm not saying your sin has caused your sickness. I'm not saying that. I'm saying our sin has caused all the sickness. To shake your heads at me. So Jesus destroyed sin, which is why I believe the atonement helps us achieve healing better, because He destroyed the root cause of why people are sick, why people are depressed, why people have issues. He destroyed that on the cross. Are you with me? Last reason, because I see miracles, and it helps your faith believe everything you just read in the Bible. If it's just a theory on paper, you'll never believe. Let me say this again. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the spirituals only discern spiritually. The supernatural things of God can only be discerned supernaturally. They cannot be experienced academically.
Yes.
Year, 2 years ago, I was in Brazil, Indiana, doing a 15 church Nazarene zone revival. And a lady came in a wheelchair. I said, what's wrong, honey? She goes, I have MS. So I said, can I pray for you? Yeah. I prayed for her. The power of God came. A bunch of people got touched. A bunch of pastors got knocked down by God's power on the ground in Indiana. That's kind of weird in Indiana. Well, the next night, this lady comes back walking in the church with no wheelchair. I was in Bridgeton, Missouri at Dr. Stan Hall's Nazarene Church, Gateway Church of the Nazarene, several years ago. A tornado hit it and tore the roof off, so they had to rebuild it. It was in the Nazarene news and all that. I was in this church one night doing a meeting, and there was a guy in a wheelchair named Willie, and Willie had been hit by lightning 6 years earlier and died for 45 minutes. They resuscitated him, brought him back to life, but he's in the wheelchair paralyzed, and he can't talk good. He stutters, and he can't walk. Holy Spirit says to me, get him up. So I went up to him. I said, you want to get up? He couldn't talk. So I grabbed Willie's hand, and I pulled him out of the wheelchair, And he just started walking, and he's still walking.
Yeah.
That was taking a risk where God's authority wasn't me, you guys. I can't do nothing. But God can do anything if you operate in authority. You get it?
Right.
That night, there were so many miracles. There was people still are friends of our ministry because of that night. When miracles break out, God persuades people.
Yes.
It's good. One more story, then I'm done. I was in Columbus, Ohio. We're going back to that church this year. It's called Life Point Church Nazarene. Brad Coaches is the Nazarene pastor. They run about 600-700. It was a Friday night. I said to the crowd at the end, I got done preaching this message. Only I preached the hour and a half version, not the... And I said, does anybody need a miracle? The first lady came running up was a blonde-haired lady, maybe 45, 40, 40. 40, no, late 30s. I'm sorry. I don't know ages. Okay. She comes running up, and she grabs my hands, and I grabbed her hands, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, tell her to hold on to her dream. Don't give up on her hope. I'm going to give her a miracle. She'll just hold on for a few more days. So I told her that. I didn't get a chance to pray for her. I grabbed her hands, and I spoke that word to her. She collapsed on the ground. She couldn't stand up. Her husband came and picked her up and took her back to the chair. The next day when I was driving to Detroit to start my next meeting from Columbus to Detroit, that lady called me. And she goes, Brother Dan, you got a minute? I said, who is this? I'm that blonde-haired lady. Like, oh, yeah, how you doing? Well, I went home last night, and I felt God's electric currents going through my body for over 6 hours. And the hairs on my arms and my legs stood up for 6 hours. I don't know what this is. And I didn't know what it was either because I can't find that in the Bible that for 6 hours. I mean, in Job, the Spirit went by him and his hair stood up, but doesn't say anything about 6 hours. So I'm just like, okay, I don't know what to say because all I did was grab her hands and speak. So it's not you. It would be the spirit of the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
You get it?
Yeah.
So she goes... Okay, she telling me that, and I remember I said, okay, and her husband's on the phone. It's true, Brother Dan, I was watching. Good, now I'm really nervous. I mean, so Tuesday she calls me. This is weird, now that's Saturday. Tuesday she calls me. She goes, you got a minute, Brother Dan? And I didn't know what to think. You know, this is the electric 6 hour electric girl. The next call, I'm sitting in my car in the Hampton Inn there, and I think it was Flint. I can't remember where. Doesn't matter. But I remember when she called me. And she goes, you got a minute? I goes, yeah, what's going on now? Well, I'm at the doctor. I got to have my DNC, you know, because my baby died about 45 days ago. And I didn't tell you that, but that's what I was praying for that night. And the doctors dropped the scope twice because there's a baby that's alive.
Come on.
And she goes, I haven't even told my husband yet. I just thought you might want to know that. Now, listen to this. So now the baby's, we'll see her this year. She's a couple years, 3 years old, 4 years old, little girl. But she was dead. But I grabbed her hands, and I just felt like God, I don't hear God's audibly. But you feel impressions that if you don't take the risk, how are you going to ever know if it is God?
Right.
Hold on to your dream. Don't give up. God's going to do a miracle if you don't give up. Just wait a couple days. Boom. Husband helps her back. That night, she feels electric currents in her body for 6 hours. 3 days later, her baby's alive.
Amen.
I believe in healing.
Wow. Amen.
You get it?
That's right.
Amen.
So I believe in healing because of it's God's will, because of Jesus, because of how Jesus did it, because of authority, because of the kingdom, because of faith, because of the sacrifice on the cross, and because he still does miracles.
Right.
Think I believe in it. So, this is the first altar call. We'll do three altar calls. Is that good? Three altar calls. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify him in the truth. Your word is truth. The only way you can be sanctified is if you're in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
How many think you heard truth tonight?
Yes, amen.
Who thinks you didn't hear truth? So we're unanimous. Are you living this truth?
Mm-hmm.
We
That's what he wants. That's what God wants.
That's right.
This phrase, sanctify them in the truth, that prefix in is pronounced ice, E-I-S, ice. It has to do with pursuit, proximity to truth, because Jesus is the truth.
Yeah.
You can't be in the truth and lag behind truth. You have to be in step with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You have to be yoked up with Jesus. You're not sanctified unless you're in truth. Not prayed a prayer Sunday, but we're living in truth, because that's the only way we're sanctified. Isn't that the first? That's a good altar call.
Yes.
Because in 1 Thessalonians, it says, now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit. It's the first thing that needs to be sanctified is where your motives come from. And that only is Godward if you're sanctified in truth. Come on, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're all saved, or we all get salvation, soteria, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. You with me? So who's here tonight? You say, Brother Dan, I don't know if I'm in the truth, but I sure want to be. Who's here? You say, that's you? Who else? You? Who else? You say, that's three people. You think God has enough power to sanctify us in the truth tonight if we want him to? Seriously. Anybody else? You say, well, I want to, Dan, but, you know, I don't have the courage. I'm not talking about courage. I'm talking about, do you want to walk in the truth? Do you want to live in truth? Because that's the only way we're sanctified.
Right.
Truth doesn't change.
Right.
Anybody else? Yes. See, now we have seven people. See, this message is prevalent. Mm-hmm. I can preach a message on healing, and one of the main important parts of healing is your spiritual healing or your sanctification.
Right.
Because if you can get your spirit right, your soul and your body can catch up quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
That's right.
So if you raise your hand, would you come up here to the altar just right now without anybody pleading with you and kneel before God and say, God, I'd really like you to sanctify me in the truth tonight. I don't want to be in religion. I don't want to be in doubt. I don't want to be in fear.
Amen.
I want to give my life to you as a sacrifice of love.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to sanctify my heart. I want you to sanctify my mind. I want you to cleanse me and purify me and set me free from me and set me free from fear and disappointment and hurt and sin. And I want to be sanctified in the truth. That's the altar call. That's this altar call. And if you want that experience, if you want to be sanctified in the truth, please come. If the Spirit is just tugging on your heart a little bit, don't fight him. Let's cooperate with God. Amen? And we're just going to pray a prayer. It doesn't take God long. He just needs us to obey. Right? He wants us to obey.
Yes.
Sanctify him in the truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for truth. Thank you for truth. Thank you for obedience tonight. I want everybody in the room that's sanctified to come up and put your hand on somebody, please. Everybody in the room that has a pure heart, that God's filled you, I want you to pray for sanctification on all these precious people right now, that their hearts are made pure. Sanctify us in the truth, Father. We don't want to be religious. We don't want more knowledge. We want your power to make us holy and clean. Sanctify us in the truth. Sanctify us in the truth. Sanctify us in the truth. We want to be made like you, Jesus. We don't want to be religious. We want to be free from that. Sanctify us in the truth tonight. Make our hearts clean. Make our minds clean. Make our conscience clear. So our faith can be sincere and honest faith. Sanctify us in the truth. We trust your blood to cleanse us from all sin. We trust your Spirit to fill us to overflowing. We trust your love to make all things new. So if there's any kind of a secret sin, we let go of that tonight. If there's kind of a gossip or a lie or hypocrisy or lust or greed or thief, whatever the sin is, we let go of all sin. We don't want sin in our lives. We want holiness in our lives. We want our lives to be pure. We don't want idols. We want you, Jesus. We don't want to hold on to anything but Jesus tonight. That's in truth. That's being in the truth. So God, let us look past the hurts and the disappointments and let us get serious about the cross now. The cross not only forgives us and separates us from the world, but it digs the carnal nature of the world out of our hearts. Sanctify us in the truth. Set us free tonight, God, just to believe like children that have a good father. Set us free to believe like children tonight. We receive salvation through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. God, we can't earn sanctification. We can't work hard enough, but we can get close to the sanctifier. And we can rest and we can believe. So, Jesus, give us faith to believe tonight in your finished work. In John 19:30, you said, "It is finished." You have destroyed Satan. You have destroyed his works. You have destroyed sin. It is finished. We don't have to add one thing to it except our belief and our amen. Give these men and women simple, childlike faith to believe and to say amen. We agree with it. We agree. We're cleansed. We're sanctified. Now, God, I thank you for your work. It was done 2,000 years ago, but tonight we're letting it happen in our lives right now. You did this work on the cross. And when you came back from the dead and you see at the right hand of the Father, you're praying right now that all of us would be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your prayer right now. So, Lord, what you sanctify now, I pray you'd fill.
Yes.
You've cleaned out hearts. You're cleaning out minds. I pray tonight, God, you would fill every person here with the Holy Spirit right now to overflowing, God. Let's cry out, church. Can we do that? Can we cry out that, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit right now. Fill everyone with the Holy Spirit.
Come,
God. Come, Holy Spirit. Baptize us now with your love and your power and your holiness right now. Come, Lord. Fill these willing vessels. Fill your temples. Fill your houses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you know in your heart you've surrendered all, you've confessed all, you believe, then God's doing the work. Let's just start praising him, you guys. Let's just start praising him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're making this a holy church. You're making this a holy bride. This is not a harem. This is a bride. You're making us like you, Jesus. So we praise you for your work. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for your power. We praise you, Word of God, for your truth. We praise you, blood of Jesus, that's still speaking. It speaks not only here, but it speaks in heaven. We praise you, Jesus, that all those things that we've done have been nailed to the cross and Satan has nothing to accuse us with. We praise you for your sanctifying work right now at this altar. We thank you that we're not just kneeling on the altar, but our heart has become the altar that the fire is lit on. And we're thankful that if we'll just keep fanning the flames, the fire doesn't have to go out. So thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We believe. Do we believe? You guys can go to your seats. We have two more altar calls. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so glad you came tonight. I love you, sis. Amen. Amen. Isn't this good?
Praise God.
Praise God. So, that was a That was the prayer for your spirit, right? The sanctification of your spirit. That's the eternal one. Now we're going to pray for the soul, your emotional healing. And then the last prayer will be for your body, your physical healing. Your emotional and physical healings are temporary because when you die, you don't have the same body or the same emotions. But we still post to pray for them because Jesus did. And everywhere he went, he healed people that were oppressed of the devil, even though he knew they would die eventually. Can you imagine having to die twice like Lazarus? Here we go again. Been there, done that. Can, you know, Jesus wrecked some people's routines. But I want to pray for people's emotional healing. I know there's been seven of you that have met privately with Jay and Judy and you've gotten healing. But there's some of you in this room that haven't. And there's some of you in this room that the Holy Spirit's been talking to the whole night and you've been longing. I can tell that when you're preaching, you can tell the Spirit's flowing towards those who are poor in spirit. Those who are saying, I can't take another step without God's grace. Those who are saying, I can't take another breath unless he breathes into me fresh and anew. That's the people he heals. His prophetic power to heal doesn't heal people that aren't desperate to be healed. In fact, when you're being drawn to him, that's when you ought to probably go to him. Because that's when he takes away darkness and fear and shame and hurt. So if you need emotional healing, if you have depression, if you have anxiety, worry, fear, maybe you have a lot of layers of shame because you've been abused or you've been hurt by someone. If you live in condemnation, but you know your Bible says you don't have any if you're a Christian, but your mind always talks you into being condemned and never being good enough. That means you need emotional healing. I've seen a lot of people healed emotionally. God can do it.
Amen.
He's healed me. Freely you receive, freely give. So if you, see, this might be a little harder because for you to say, well, I need emotional healing in front of everybody, they're going to, well, what are they going to say? Who cares? But what if you left here free? Like a calf, like a spring calf set free from the stall. That's in the Bible. And so if you have depression, anxiety, worry, shame, fear, shame, whatever it is, and you say, well, I get victory for a while, and then I see them on Facebook and it makes me sick, or I get victory until I see people. That's not freedom. God can set us free. Or we can actually love our enemies because we're free from ourselves. We can actually forgive. Come on, think about it. When you're free, you become a forgiveness maker.
Right.
Who's here? He said, Brother Dan, I need emotional healing. Please come up here and stand with me. I just want you to stand here in this aisle. You need emotional healing. Fact, since there's that many, just kind of stand across the front, and I'd like you guys to hold hands all the way across the front. This is for emotional healing. Just go ahead and spread out. We got to have room. Amen. God's going to do miracles. He's here. His power is here right now. I want you to scoot up, guys. Can you scoot up? This is important. This is really important. I'm going to give you instructions. Paul says this. Now, don't stand there. Stand right in line facing the front. Paul says in Corinthians, this is a very important thing he says. He goes, when you feel the Spirit's anointing, and he's drawing you to someone, that's the person you should always go to, because that anointing or that burden you feel someone is the channel that the anointing wants to flow through to bring deliverance. And so why I'm saying that is, I want you people in the congregation, because if we're all obedient and we're not a bunch of liars, that means everybody out here is already Spirit-filled in the congregation because we've already prayed that prayer.
Amen.
So everybody in the seats has the anointing. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Can you guys do that? I want everybody out here to ask, Holy Spirit, who is your burden in my heart for up here? Because I want one person to stand behind each person with your hands on their shoulders. Can I do that? I want you guys to participate. This is the body of Christ healing the body of Christ, because we're all one body. Are you with me? You guys come up a little more so they can just, yeah, that's good. That way they can all kind of get behind you. And I'm gonna listen to the Spirit here for a little bit. Jay's been teaching us all week to do this. Jay's been teaching us all week. Now, I want everybody that came up here for emotional healing. In fact, these two girls here need to come up, Pastor, so they're not dragging back. There you go. There you go. There's shame. People have been abused sexually. It's affected you for decades. And I'm not going to call people out, so just relax. Nobody's going to do anything. The light of God is not going to expose you for ridicule. It's going to burn out the stuff Satan's been haunting you with. In other words, this light's not going to be exposed outward. It's going to be exposed inward. And so I want you to imagine right now this good Jesus, this good Jesus is in this room. And he knows. He's looking in your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and imagine he's looking in your eyes. And you know he knows everything. You know that because he does. He's just like that woman at the well. He says, go call your husband. He knew she was living with a guy. He knew that she'd been divorced 5 times. He knew, but he was fishing for her to be honest enough that he could bring healing to her. I want you to envision Jesus standing in front of you right now, looking into your eyes, and you know he's peering right into your soul, and he sees that part of you that's broken. He's saying, oh, daughter, oh, son, I was there when it happened. I was there when you were broken. I was there. I was there. I've never left you. I'm just waiting on you to come and turn to me. Isaiah says, turn to me and be saved. Tonight in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, when you turn to the Lord, he lifts the veil and you can see healing staring right into your soul. What I want you to do is just imagine. This isn't new age. This isn't anything weird. This is a step of faith. We're turning to the Lord where he lifts the veil. And we're looking at him right now with unveiled face, our bridegroom and us, the bride. And he sees the hurt. He sees the shame. He sees the disappointment. He sees the unforgiveness. He sees the root that keeps us in this dilemma, this cycle of never breaking free all the way. We'll go to a certain place, but then that fear of that hurt erupting shuts us down before we ever see the real breakthrough. And tonight, God wants to get to the bottom of all that. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now, as your sons and daughters are looking you in the eye, that you would direct them to trust you with that hurt, that broken place that causes fear, that causes shame, that's developed bad eating habits, it's developed bad thought habits, it's developed a cycle of always needing prayer, of always needing help instead of believing the help lives in us. We want to end the cycle of distrust tonight. I'm not asking you, God, to put trust in these precious men and women for people. I'm asking you to reinstate the trust they should have for you.
Yes, Jesus.
People can earn our trust later. That's not who heals us. You're the one who heals us. Lord, I want to make everybody aware tonight that my touch and my words and this sermon and this team aren't the healers. Ministry doesn't heal us. Truth sets us free.
Yes.
Everything we're doing this week, God, from the first Sunday school lesson to the last time tonight, all we're trying to do is load these people with truth. It saves, it sanctifies, it heals, it delivers. Truth sets us free. So, Lord, I ask you now by your power, by your word, which is truth, that you would cut out the shame, that you would cut out the fear. I pray right now, all of you that are here, you would exhale your shame and your fear. Just blow it out. Just blow it out of yourself. and just let go. Say, I'm not taking that anymore. I'm not taking it home. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts anymore. Those images are not going to be preeminent in my mind anymore. God's going to revamp the mind. He's going to revamp my heart. He's going to go deeper than the hurt. So he's my bedrock. So God, as we lay hands on these people, I ask for chemical imbalances to be made normal. I ask for fear to be run out, to be run out. I ask for shame to be demolished. I ask for anxiety and worry to have no place to land anymore in the heart and mind of these precious people. Lord, when I touch them now, God, I don't want to be the one touching them. I want you to use my hands. I want you to reach through me, God. And I want you to set every person free here. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I want you to do the work, God. Holy Spirit, set everybody free. We're not going to leave here the same. We're not going to leave here the same. You're speeding up years, God, that we felt like, how are we ever going to get to the end where we can rest? You're speeding up the rest time now. He's healing you all the way through, girl. Your back, your lungs, your joints. You're not going to be the same.
Thank you.
You're not going to be the same. Just receive. Just receive his love. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Lord, touch this man of God. Let him never be the same. Let him never be the same. Let him enjoy now all that you have for him in these years, God, I pray. No more. Emotions be in line. Peace reign like a river. Deeper wisdom, I pray. Deeper wisdom, I pray. Lord, I pray for my sister. I pray for my sister, Lord. The whole night, God, she's been wondering if this would be her night. She came wondering, God. And I pray tonight you'd make it clear to her that this is her night. You had a bullseye on her heart. You don't feel like you're ever worthy. You feel like you have to work harder. You feel like you got to do more. And those lies have to leave tonight. They have to leave. Thank you, Father. You're going to be different. You're going to be different. More Jesus. You have a calling on this girl, God. You want to do so many things to her. And I just pray you take her deeper, God, so she can go higher with you and lead other people to freedom. Nothing more can hinder God. She can't ever look back over her shoulder again and say, what if I would have? She can't ever do that anymore. She just has to keep gazing into your eyes and forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, heal my sister. There's regrets. That's what I keep hearing when I see you right now. There's regrets. And you got to let regrets go. You can't live in regrets. You got to love in the freedom. You got to live right now in this freedom you have right now, right here in this moment. You don't have tomorrow and you don't have yesterday, but you have right now. This is a father-daughter moment between you and your father. It's you and him alone in this room. In Jesus' name, be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Darkness, leave right now. That hesitation, God, that she wants to believe, but it's hard. Let it leave right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So if I prayed with you, go sit down so the other people can move over. If I prayed with you, go sit down. Amen. Now I'm going to pray with this precious lady. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be whole. Be whole. Jesus' name. Amen. You can go sit down. Amen. Oh, you're so hungry. You're crazy hungry. You really are.
I want money.
No, you really are. You're hungry. You're like a rock. You're like a pillar of faith. Lord, she has these dreams. She sees these things, but she talks herself out of it because she doesn't think she's adequate for the task. But tonight, God, you're putting a greater mantle of faith on her. She's going to be able to believe for the impossible. There's loved ones, God, that she carries such heavy burdens for. Just bless her. Bless her tonight, Jesus, I pray. Bless her, Jesus. You know the longings, God. You know those things that she can't say anything to anybody about. She carries them. I pray right now for deliverance and freedom. In Jesus' name. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray for this little girl. You're little to me. You're a little girl, okay? Lord, I pray that you take away shame and you take away fear. You just let her feel your love. Let her know that you've got her right now. You've wrapped her up in your arms. You're never going to let her go. And you're going to finish everything you ever dreamed for her, God, if she could just trust you as a good father. So take away the shame. Take away the regrets and the fears, the disappointments. Let her trust you tonight, Jesus. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. You got to forgive yourself. That's your hardest thing. Come on, you got to let go. You got to forgive yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. I love you, honey. Are you with her? Or you want prayer, don't you? Yeah.
I want to just go out of the hospital.
I know. You're the faith lady. Yeah.
I work with these youth.
Touch her, Jesus. Touch her with more. Lord, multiply her 1,000 times. Multiply her 1,000 times. Let healing flow all the way through her mind and her body. Make her strong. Meet her needs. Overwhelm her, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you.
Love you.
I love you. I'm going to pray for this one now, okay? Yeah. Lord, there's a lot of deep, deep hurt here. Jesus. There's layers. You got to let go, honey. You can't hold on.
It's okay.
You don't have to hold on. You can trust Jesus tonight. Father, go deep in her heart. I command the spirit of death to leave. There's been lies telling her what's the use of living, and she's done things that she's ashamed of. I command it to leave. No more shame. Lord, she's in a hard situation, God, and I pray that you do miracles. You'd surround her with angels, God. You protect her. You'd protect her, God. It's not easy. I pray for healing, and I pray for protection. In Jesus' name, I pray for shame to go, and I pray for wholeness to flood her soul. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Look me in the eyes, honey. Look me in the eyes. Here, look at me. I love you. I love you. You're a good girl, okay?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Pastor and his wife, mighty warriors. Lord, I thank you for their faith. I thank you for what you've been bringing them through these years. I've never seen them this free before, God. You're doing a good thing in them. And I thank you for the healing. But there needs to be deeper healing. There's been disappointments. There's been longings of unfulfilled dreams. And I pray you'd lift that off their shoulders now and just set them free, God. I pray that Francis is never the same. I pray he's a fearless firewalker all the rest of his days. I pray, God, you just hem him in before and behind. I pray that your fire would rest upon him. And I pray that that subtle lie of the enemy that always talks him out of really believing it's his destiny, that it would be gone forever. And he would walk in the victory that you have for him, Jesus. Let your righteousness be his breastplate. Let your soteria be his helmet. Let your faith shield him. Let your truth hold it all together. Let your peace guide every step. Father, I thank you for his sword. He knows you, God. Help him to yield it with no fear, unflinchingly. Lord, bless my brother, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And then, Lord, my sister, Blended, Lord, you're doing all kinds of stuff in her right now, God. I can tell. I can tell, God. Lift the pressure. Lift the pressure. Give her the ability not to look over her shoulder anymore. No more looking over the shoulders. No more second guessing. She's a princess. She's the daughter of a king. Her daddy's in charge of this whole kingdom. And I just pray you'd overwhelm her with love. Lord, there's been some family issues that haven't been easy. There's been some relationship stuff that hadn't been easy. But God, I pray your love would just cover it over right now. And you just bring healing. Let your healing oil flow deep into my sister, I pray. I know you've touched her in the past. Touch her again. I pray that there'd be such peace in her soul that the DNA in every cell would be affected physically. Yes. That's my prayer. I pray against fibromyalgia type stuff. Lord, I sense that there's these things that jump around in her body from one place to the next. And I pray right now, with the wisdom and the truth you're filling her with, that all that stuff would never come back right now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave. Emotional freedom will lead to physical healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, Blenda. Now come up here, buddy. What's your name?
James.
I remember. I like you, James. Lord, bless my brother James. Heal his mind. Heal his emotions. Give him peace like a river.
Yes.
Take away shame. Take away hurt. Take away unforgiveness. Fill him up with joy. Let him be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And your name?
Helen.
Helen. Come here, Helen. I love you, Helen. Lord, more healing for Helen. I just pray your healing would go deep and she would never be the same. Let your healing go deep. Let her never be the same. Don't let her pick up those longings she's had in the past again. She's let go because she didn't know if it would ever happen. Let her pick them back up and let your dream come alive again, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, sis. I love you. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't this good? So we prayed for spiritual and emotional healing, right?
Amen.
And now we'll pray for physical healing. And you don't have to come up here for that. We're going to pray that God will touch you right where you're at. How's that? I want to pray for you right now. What's your name? Jill?
Janet.
I love your testimony. Can I say a prayer for you? I'm going to just do what the Holy Spirit says. Lord, I pray right now for her lungs and her circulation and her joints. I pray that you'd free her and she would feel better than she's felt in 25 years. I pray you'd overwhelm her right now with your goodness. I pray for everybody in this room, God, who has a breathing issue, that their lungs would work perfectly, that their hearts would function perfectly. High blood pressure and cholesterol issues would come into alignment. Heart valve issues. Pulmonary issues. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now I pray that all pain would leave bodies right now. All pain. If it's joint related, if it's tissue related, if it's sinus and allergy related, pain, leave. If it's nerve related, if it's tingling or burning or sciatic nerves, it doesn't matter. If it's the shoulders, the back, the ribs, the elbows, the hips, the knees, the ankles, I just command pain to leave these bodies alone tonight. Pain, leave. I pray that every person sleeps better tonight than they've slept in a decade. I pray that everybody, when they wake up, they'll say, I can't believe that. I pray for eyesight to be corrected tonight. I pray for hearing to be healed. I pray for ringing in the ears to leave. I command cancer to die, and everybody that has a cancer cell, let it die right now and let new cells be born, resurrected to life on Easter week. I pray for thyroids and pituitary glands to come back alive. I pray for pancreases to come back alive. I pray that this diabetes would be destroyed. I pray for cartilages to regrow, and I pray for strength. I pray for balance. I pray you would overwhelm these people, these faithful people that came to church in this revival, with how good you really are. We believe it's your will. We believe Jesus showed it. We believe the kingdom's here, the Holy Spirit's here, authority's here, faith is here, and you already shed your blood. So everything's lining up for us to have a good night in the kingdom of God. So I pray as we walk out of this room tonight, we would just be overwhelmed at the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Thank you for healing us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.